He was demonised as patient zero by the media, but research published in the journal Nature shows Mr. Dugard was simply one of many thousands of people infected before HIV was recognised. A leaked letter from the former head of the Indian multinational Tata says the business will have to write off investments totalling nearly $20 billion. Tata, India's largest conglomerate, sacked Cyrus Mistry on Tuesday after the letter revealed he believed that several parts of the firm are underperforming and had been massively overvalued in the company's accounts. BBC News.
This is Aspen Public Radio. Good evening. I'm Madeline Osberger, contributing editor of the Aspen Daily News. For the next hour, I'll be asking questions to the two candidates who are running for the mayor's seat in Snowmass Village. With me here in the Aspen Public Radio studio in downtown Aspen are incumbent Marky Butler and challenger Richard Goodwin. To begin, each candidate will give a two-minute opening statement, and after that, I'll ask them a series of questions. They will be allowed 2 minutes to answer and may have up to 1 minute for a response if necessary. Ready, candidates? Let's get started. Marky, you're first with an opening statement.
Good afternoon to everyone who is listening on Aspen Public Radio. As many of you know, I have served as mayor for the last 2 years and have thoroughly enjoyed serving as your mayor. Most importantly, I'm very proud of the accomplishments of our wonderful town council. The last 2 years have been very difficult at times, but also very rewarding. Many, many successes have occurred in Snowmass Village as a result of the current town council, as well as under my leadership. As many of you know, the construction will start moving forward in April this year with the Limelight, and we'll continue with the podium development, which is over the garages. As you know, we know them as building numbers, but you all know them as the parking garage and also the hopeful movement forward on the Snowmass Discovery Center. So it's been an honor to serve you. I've served as leader of many, many organizations for many, many years, and it takes a special requisite skill to facilitate. And the mayor's job, as many of you know, is a facilitation role. So thoroughly enjoy it. And thank you for the last few years to all of my constituents.
Thank you, Marky. How about you, Richard Goodman?
Well, I've been here for 33 years, mostly full-time. And I love our little pristine mountain community. And I'm very concerned about its future. Related, which was given a major revision to the 2004 ordinance in last year on December 15th, is full of holes. There are a lot of problems there, and there was 10 conditions which, to the best of my knowledge, have not been thoroughly addressed. Because of my experience of building 5,000 residential units, 15,000 building lots, sold to other builders, two country clubs, and some shopping centers, I think I'm needed more than ever with this change of ownership of Snowmass Village. Related, in my opinion, I kept calling them carpetbaggers, and that is going on since they bought back into the community. How they were able to do this is a mystery to me, because my experience with foreclosures is everything's wiped out. You got to go back to ground zero. You may own the land, but it doesn't give you any rights, only other what the previous zoning was, which of course is unacceptable. I am in favor of the completion of Base Village on our terms, not the developers.
Thank you. A question I'd like to get out of the way, because I feel it's a little bit of a gorilla in the room. There have been allegations of misinformation spread recently in a letter that was circulated to all the voters of Snowmass Village. Richard, could you summarize some of those accusations that you sent in a letter over the weekend, and then I'm going to give Marky an opportunity to respond.
Well, first thing, I just clarified my background and why I'm qualified to be mayor. The ordinance of last year on, it's called Ordinance 9, is so full of holes you could drive a Mack truck through it. I haven't heard resolutions of many of the things that are related to that. I've also been advocating for years that any future construction be bonded or financially guaranteed to at least 150% of its cost, so that we don't face the building 7 and 8 that looks like a third world country. And I have not heard any response to those requests. I have a bunch of letters here that I've sent to the town council. They don't believe in answering letters.
But Richard, what did you say specifically in this letter that was circulated to the homeowners? There are nine points, I believe you made.
Okay. I'll get to the point that's controversial.
Okay.
And
let's
that is that I believe that our mayor has a conflict of interest. She works for a non-profit called Hospice, and she receives a salary of $250,000 a year. That salary is always a function of contributions. And her report to the public it reported that the SkiCo, East-West, Related, and other relevant organizations are major contributors. It doesn't qualify what major contributors are. They could be $100,000 each, and that's going to affect the more money the 501c3 takes in, the more money they can pay to their staff. So that's why I feel that's a conflict of interest.
Okay. Marky, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, there was a letter to the editor in the Snowmass Sun today. There was one little error that was made, and that is in terms of dollar amount. Mr. Goodwin asserts in his letter that I make $250,000 annual salary a year running the hospice, and second of which, he asserts that developers contribute quite a bit of money. When I hear the word $100,000, I shiver to even think of that. The total amount of donations is about $300,000 a year, of which 4,000 people, more than 4,000 people contribute. The purpose of that fund is one purpose and one sole purpose, and it's called for compassionate care. That is used, any money that comes forward, and I can tell you right now, our loss year to date, it's $204,000. So if you want to talk about a nonprofit that serves over 200 patients per day in 6,000 square miles, and every penny that we earn in our contributions goes to taking care of people who do not have insurance or underfunded care, and not one penny is determined to go to my salary. My salary is based by a board of directors. So I'm tired of it. It's not true.
Hey, Marky, don't
get to reply?
Yes, you may.
What is your salary?
It's $145,000.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, there was an error today in the paper, and the decimal was in the wrong place. We all knew that Marky wasn't earning $2.5 million. Or $250,000, according to you, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But Marky, well before East-West emerged as a serious suitor to acquire the Base Village mm-hmm. properties, you spoke favorably of them in public meetings. They're, you know, as Richard pointed out, they're also one of the donors. Can you remain neutral on decisions that involve East-West, given your past favorable inclinations?
The answer to that is very much so. My observations of East-West and the work they have done in the mountain community starts with a V in BC, Vail and Beaver Creek, I think has to be applauded. They've done a great job with development. They know the mountain communities, and what we need is someone that understands mountain community development. I think they've done a great job. Our town council and many people in our community are very, very favorable towards East-West. The second point I want to also raise with East-West. East-West develops more than just that part of Vail. They have developments in Hawaii. They have developments in Denver. They have developments in Charleston, South Carolina, on and on and on. So even though they're located in Beaver Creek, I don't consider them a mountain Vail developer any longer. Now, let's go back to your notion on the contributions. There's not one of those contributors that have given more than $5,000. That's a definition of major donor.
Richard, you want to respond to that?
My reply to that is this hospice charity is on the internet. I have not looked at it on the internet. It will tell me everything about it. I'm very experienced with 501c3s. I have two myself, and I'm not prepared to comment on that, and I'll accept it at face value.
Okay, thank you. A question for you now, Richard. Can you explain your lawsuit against the town, maybe to our listening audience here? And are you prepared to drop it if you are elected mayor?
All right. The lawsuit is like it's been a series of lawsuits. It originally started challenging the existence of the 2004 PUD because many of the conditions had due dates. This had to be done, that had to be done, or the ordinance was invalid. All that was ignored by the present council, and that was my first lawsuit to get them to accept the reality that and it's not the end of the world. Base Village is going to get built one way or another. I've advocated zoning variances building by building so proper conditions can be placed on the building activities as they were for me when I was a developer. And all that didn't wash in the courts. Then I followed that up when there was an ex parte discussion between the mayor and one of the councilmen, I forget his name, with the developer, which is clearly illegal. The mayor was excused from this particular lawsuit. The other councilman, because if I could have knocked him out, there would have been a 2-2 vote for the extension, so 2-2 doesn't work. But the courts decided about 6 months ago that I was wrong, that it was not a significant ex parte discussion, and that I felt very offended by, and I have decided to appeal it.
You have not appealed it already?
I filed an appeal.
Okay. Because in today's Base Village Metro District meeting, you referred to a settlement with Related, whereby you can't bring any further lawsuits against the town.
Yes, that's right. I'm in the process of trying to settle this lawsuit, that if the negotiations work out with a plaintiff, with the defendants and me, that I will drop the appeal. But they have to make certain concessions to me before that'll happen. Otherwise, I'm determined to pursue it, and I think, as most people know, I have the wherewithal to do that.
But, Richard, if you want to be mayor, aren't you acting against the will of the people who really want, most people in Snowmass Village want this project to restart? So by prolonging this, aren't you going against what the populace has?
Not at all. The project has already received all the approvals that it needs. What my lawsuit will affect is exactly some of the details, if any. Frankly, my lawyer has told me my chances of winning this appeal are somewhere between zero and nothing. It's not my nature. I've been in a lot of litigation over my life, and I think I've mentioned to some people that one time my litigation got so complicated, I sued myself.
Well, I need to make a statement as mayor. When you serve as mayor and you have any active lawsuit on a particular issue, you would need to recuse yourself from town council and exclude yourself from all executive sessions of the town council related to the topic. How would you deal with that if you were elected as mayor when you have an active lawsuit?
I would deal with it. That's all I can tell you. But I know what the reality is of this election, that you're going to be reelected as the mayor. And I'm prepared to say to you, Marky, I want you to know that I'm available for any advice that you would like to have from an experienced developer.
Well, I truly appreciate that, because you do have experience, that's for sure.
Yes.
So for both candidates, then, let's just say you're not ready to concede right now. How would you lead during this next 4 years, or next 2 years, I'm sorry, for the mayor's term?
Well, what I would hope is that there are four members on the council, that I could convince them that we need to have very strict requirements of the developer. The Snowmass Village really owns Base Village, not the developer. But all they can do is come on and ask for this, that, and the next thing. And it's up to the council to decide whether it's legitimate or not. There's where my experience would fall into place to guide the members. As I understand the voting, that the mayor only votes in the case of a tie. So is that correct?
No. The way Snowmass, it's a weak mayor system, so everybody has an equal vote.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, then I would hope that I could convince that, first of all, there would be adequate bonding or financial security of all new public and private work, the extent of 150%, which is what I was required as a developer.
It's important to note that we have spent a lot of time on the bonding initiative. And what we have learned through working with the lawyers in our own town lawyer as well as outside counsel is that you can't bond for private development. You can for public, which is what we have done for all of the community improvements in the town.
Marky, would you change your approach at all in leading in the next 2 years? Do you feel it's been successful how you have been working with your fellow council members?
Well, I think we have to look back of what the last council was like, and it was a very split 3-2 very frequently, and it became very divisive. And as we came back together, we went through a recall election, the first one in Snowmass Village. Now we had to appoint another town council member, so we had really,
actually, that was an election. After
that
the
was
recall.
An election. Yeah,
and
that's
Richard
right.
was one of
yeah.
the candidates.
Right, that is correct. Thank you. Thank you for that correction. Alyssa was appointed to fill my seat, and then Tom Good was elected as a result of that recall election. So that council, as a team, have only worked together, all five, for about 14 months. That's a very impressive record for everything that we've been able to get accomplished. We don't always agree on everything, which I love healthy debate. It's very productive, and we've learned to compromise and make things work on behalf of all the citizens.
Thank you. This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. You're listening to a debate between Snowmass Village Mayor Marky Butler and her challenger in this fall's election, Richard Goodwin. I'm Madeline Osberger, contributing editor of the Aspen Daily News. Another question for you, too. Let's start with you, Marky. Is Snowmass Village's energy code really full of holes, as has been alleged by Richard? And then the second part of this is, I'm wondering if either one of you would foresee banning heated driveways or forcing a change to the snow-melted road that serves as one of the town's main arteries? Marky.
Those are very good questions. Quite frankly, we have been working on an environmental sustainability plan, long-term plan, for a number of years. In fact, the Environmental Advisory Board, and I don't think you're a part of our EAB. It's a wonderful group. The head of CORE is on the group. A variety of other people that are very energy conscientious serve on that board. So the question is, I don't know where the holes are. We've got a wonderful EAB. We've got CORE involved in all of our work. We've had CLEAR involved. We've continued to work the plan and continue to invest heavily into the infrastructure of Snowmass Village to include Snowmelt Road to decrease the amount of carbon emissions. Relative to the money that we spent over $100,000 last year for a variety of studies that were partially funded by CORE to look at the environmental sustainability and how we could reduce and put very fancy equipment onto all of our snow melt road, all those boilers, and that continues, and we'll fund that again next year, I think at the tune of about $100,000 to continue to improve. The goal of Snowmass Village is to move towards a zero carbon footprint. In terms of Snowmelt Drive, what we did several years ago, you had to be on a greater than an 8% slope in order to have snowmelt. If not, you had to pay significant penalties. of either renewables or money that would go into our REOP program, renewable energy program. And today there's about $25,000 sitting there, and that goes for ongoing improvement within the community that people can apply for grants and what have you. So it's a great program.
But are we seeing any net change because of that?
Yes, we've saw a significant change from 4 years ago to 2 years ago to right now in terms of carbon usage. The biggest challenge for us is the airport. That is the number one.
But that's not in Snohomish Village.
No, but that's where most of them comes,
Richard, environmental sustainability is really one of your main platforms.
Yes, so, well,
why don't you give us a little bit of information
here? From the American Renewable Energy Institute that has annual meetings now at Snohomish Village, I learned about retrofitting my own home. And I retrofitted my home. I have 8 thermal panels on the roof. I bought 28 electric panels down valley. My last electric bill was minus $25. So it's become a passion with me. I'm concerned with global warming. I've contacted the Rocky Mountain Institute to ask them if they would advise Snohomish Village as to what is needed for renewable energy based on their standard in their basalt building, which has no furnace. Now, that's really zero carbon. And they said to me, well, we don't deal with private individuals from you, but if Snohomish Village will request us to make an evaluation to review their energy code to see whether you're right or wrong that there are holes in it, and also they would make an assessment about, is it time for Snohomish Village to have their own electric farm? And the next century is upon us. It's coming at the speed of light. And Snohomish Village needs to take this very seriously. I think a special energy czar should be appointed by the council to look at all the things, such as there's I know I'm running over my time. The people that make the electric car Tesla have come out with what they call a power mode, where you get a electric panels, more than one on your roof. They're connected to a battery. If the battery runs down, you automatically get connected to the grid, so you're never out of power. There's so many innovations today that need to be explored seriously.
But how about those heated driveways and snowmelt road? Do you have any?
No, I'm opposed to snowmelt. It's cheaper to hire laborers to shovel load. I have snowmelt on my driveway. I closed it down. I have a contractor who's shovels snow, and it's about 50% of what it would have cost to use snowmelt.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Candidates, the town's budget in 2 years projects a deficit, due in part to when new construction will come online with Base Village. Where do you anticipate adjustments would need to be made to the budget? Richard, do you want to start with that, since Markey was first selected?
Well, you either have to. I've been in business a long time. The only answer I can find to an issue like that is you either find some way to increase your income or cut your expenses. But you shouldn't go negative. There's no reason for a municipality to go negative unless there's some special project like renewable energy where they can float bond issues at very low interest rates these days. So I would have to see justification to float a bond issue. But otherwise, you're going to have to cut your expenses or increase your income.
I mean, would you be amenable to cutting employees or cutting benefits or any specifics?
I don't think that's going to be necessary. I would give it serious consideration. I know a lot of the employees in Snohomish Village. They're all very hardworking people, and I have a lot of respect for every one of them. And I don't think we would ever get to that.
What do you think we could cut? Any studies or the comp plan?
I can't be specific about that at this time.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Marky, if we had to make some cuts, where would they come?
Well, firstly, when we talk about a deficit budget, it's not a deficit budget. You have to look at the entire fund balance before you look at allocation in terms of expenses and revenue. So what we looked at was some major projects that need to happen in Snowmass Village as a result of the recession that really was very, very devastating to many, many individuals, as well as town projects that had to go awry. So now we're doing the catch-up mode, and we're spending money, as many of you know, on other investments, all the infrastructure development related to development, as well as beginning to look at enlarging our employee housing stock. So you look at checking and savings. So all we're doing in terms to balance the budget is pulling out the savings, putting it in the checking to make it available for capital improvements. So that's what that is all about. So I don't consider it a deficit budget. It's a balanced budget by using pretty large fund balance, over $19 million right now sitting in the various fund balances. So I don't want to apologize to anyone for the focus now is investing in the community. It's going to be a changing community. We got to invest and get the infrastructure ready to go.
Very well. On the topic of employee housing, where do you think future employee housing should be located? Within the village, mm-hmm. outside of the village, is there a percentage that's acceptable? I asked the town council candidates the same question, 50%? You know, how much do you think we should house in the village? Marky, you want to start with that?
Sure. I'm going to go back to the time when I chaired the Planning Commission. And one of the big topics we really, really invested in was looking at the whole notion of employee housing. So we had RRC come in from Boulder. They worked with myself and the Planning Commission to determine through a surveying process of all of our employees about where they wanted to live. And what we learned from that study, and our current mitigation is 45%. What we learned from that study that needs to be updated is 55% wanted to be in Snowmass Village. So we did what I call put a skosh in there and got it up to 60%. So the new mitigation, any future development is 60% on employee housing.
But within the village borders, is that possible?
Well, I think there's some opportunity here. Now, firstly, let's talk about something that is happening tomorrow night. We're sitting down with Pitkin County. One of the greatest needs I see in Snowmass Village is most every one of the homes have steps, stairways. As you get older, it's harder and harder to go up and downstairs. Mm-hmm. We also have employee housing that the kids have grown. They're gone, 3 and 4 bedrooms. So when you begin to think about that, can we begin to get at the notion, which I'm very passionate about, and that's aging in place and moving into a continuing care retirement community so we can free up some of our existing stock and continue to invest in employees that get married, have kids, and now they've got a decent place to live. Now, your question, and I don't know what that capacity will be. We don't know because we haven't studied that yet. In terms of if people want to move out of their current employee housing and move into a CCRC, there is space available, and I'll identify a few. One of which is we looked at the draw site several years ago about putting...
Just behind the Snowmass Town Hall.
Town Hall. We looked at that project. The challenge is the slope, but we know we can do that. That's on a 30% slope. There is another piece that is as a result of the Pat Smith and the hotel development agreement. That is about 4 different lots up behind the Wood Bridge. There is another area that I'm personally thinking we ought to look at in Snowmass Village, and that's behind the current Snowmass Center.
Okay. Thank you. Richard, what do you think about employee housing? Now, I know you're planning on making a move, downsizing a little bit, moving into Base Village.
Yes. Well, as I understand it, each one of these buildings that have received this major approval have tied to it a number of employee housing. Now, I think most people will agree whatever it is merely a token it doesn't cover a lot of employees here who are other than connected to the new buildings. Now, where is that? There are many areas. What I'm interested in is what the planning is for the entrance. That's the land around the town center at this time where the recreation building is.
So down near the rec center, down at the where the rodeo, some people call it the rodeo grounds, or it's also known as town park. You think there should be housing there?
I do think there should be housing there, and there also should be I would like to think of Snowmass Village as the greenest village in America, and that there should be like a renewable energy center with the help of RDA and other organizations. I think Rocky Mountain Institute.
But is that part of your employee housing plan? I'm sorry.
Well, the renewable? Because to build buildings there, including employee housing.
I see.
And the buildings can carry the day for the subsidy for the employee housing.
Is there a percentage of employees that we should try? Marky said 60%. That's the goal, but realistically.
No, I don't think that's a realistic goal. I think if we can take care of 40% of employee housing, we'll be doing great. I don't know what the Aspen percentage is. Do you?
It's less than Snowmass. We're at 45%, Richard.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Marky. To hop over to the town's comprehensive plan, which the process has just kicked off. It's a $200,000 plan, or $170,000 with a little wiggle room. What is your vision for the key commercial nodes, including the Snowmass Center and the mall, since Base Village has kind of already been determined? Richard, do you want to give me your vision for what would be at the center and the mall?
You're talking
in the future.
About Base Village Mall?
No, I'm sorry, about the Snowmass Center where the grocery store is, and then the Snowmass Mall where Jean Taylor's. And
well, I think we should start from ground zero there and look at everything. We have a vital community facility there called the post office. We don't want to, we may have to trash it, but we don't have to remove it.
Yeah.
So, and Clark's Market, which is a recent acquisition, is pretty much entranced there. And several of the real estate companies have solidified their position in the center. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that a lot can be done other than cosmetic to that center. But that is, as I understand it, East-West and the new partnerships are going to own that building.
No, it's already to different. No.
Related is still going to own it?
No, it was sold to the gentleman that
Jordan Sarek, yes, Eastwood, Sarek, who has the development at the base of Aspen Highlands. He has the center, but the mall is still for sale. The mall is still owned by Related.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Here, let me ask you, both of you, this. Do you think the landowners of the mall and the center should be invited to be active participants in this planning process? Because otherwise, maybe it's just visionary but not realistic.
The comp plan visionary kickoff was, I think it was a week ago Tuesday night. It was attended by about 80 to 85 people, maybe 100, I don't remember, but it was standing room only. And what is important about this process, it's really community-led. We need to get everyone possibly involved, even the kids, talking about what they would like to see for the vision of Snowmass Village. So it will not be that of just the owners up in the mall, but throughout the entire village.
Okay. Thank you. Richard, you tout your experience. You mentioned this earlier as a builder, and you know a lot about bonding and such. But is it realistic to think, and can you think of any examples locally where a completion bond was required and implemented?
I'm not familiar with anything locally. I can only tell you my experience in the Philadelphia market area on both sides of the Delaware River, that sometimes it would be a letter of credit. It doesn't have to be bonding. It could be because the people behind the SAC is going to be sold as part of this deal to three very wealthy companies. I would hope that they would step forward and say, we guarantee the performance of our subsidiary, SAC.
Well, you hope that. Do you think that's realistic?
Just that. You know, these people have a lot of money. We're talking about billions of dollars. And all they have to do is give the Snowmass Village community the assurance that we're behind any new construction to its completion. That would satisfy me.
Right. Marky, why wasn't a completion bond contemplated in Ordinance 9 that authorizes the Base Village restart, given the troubled history that we've had with Base Village?
As I said earlier, we did look into the whole notion of looking at some bonding activity on private development. You cannot do that in the state of Colorado.
Do you think the 10 agreements that are associated with mm-hmm. Ordinance 9 have enough teeth?
Yes, I do. I think they're very, very strong. The issue, as we all know, is the community purpose. That was a hang-up, as well as the plaza, was the entire plaza of which the community purpose and the ice rink will be located. That has been negotiated, and I'm very satisfied with the agreement.
Thank you. This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. You're listening to a debate between Snowmass Village Mayor Marky Butler and challenger Richard Goodwin. I'm Madeline Osberger, contributing editor for the Aspen Daily News. We're running through questions here. Now we have one on the Ice Age Discovery Center. I will ask, I believe it's your turn, Marky. Mm-hmm. You are obviously, well, I shouldn't say you are obviously, but you voted, you have given consideration to the Ice Age Discovery Center as its a primary tenant for Building 6 in Base Village. But what is your position on potentially amending the restricted list of uses for the Holy Cross Fund, which has been bandied about recently, which has, I think it has about 800,000 or heading towards that?
It's over 900 now.
Over 900. I guess it's a larger question, but should monies be reappropriated to support the Discovery Center or other uses?
Well, quite frankly, we really haven't contemplated that at the council table. It's more or less rumors that I've heard from various council members. What happens if we do this and this and this and this? And right now, we've been looking at a memorandum of understanding, and we as a council have not sat down and gone through that. So in terms of funding, I've heard that particular fund as a potential fund, and it does meet the purposes of that fund.
Richard, should other funds subsidize this town-owned building?
The Ice Age Center is a tourist attraction, and I don't think it should be in Base Village. That land is too valuable for that. And as a resident in Base Village, what happened to the Aqua Center? It went bye-bye, and with no approval from the present owners. And if the Ice Age is to replace that, then we need to get approval of the present owners. But my vision, again, at the entrance is to have the Ice Age Museum, a ski museum, a renewable energy museum, and also with employee housing. And I think that it's very feasible financially through the new developers.
That's a lot of uses for that space. So would you take up all the parking spots down there?
No, not at all. The footprint of the buildings would be very small. The big parking lot there would be very helpful. But I think more parking space would have to be designated. Something needs to be thought through very carefully, which, again, is my experience as a developer. I can be helpful to the community as they plan that area.
Coming back at you, Marky, for another question. Richard has been critical of this council and past councils for what he sees as a lack of transparency. That was even part of your lawsuit with the town, with the ex parte. Mm-hmm. Marky, do you believe that you and the current council abide by the Sunshine Law and with regard to conversations with the developers? And then do you notice conversations between three or more of the elected officials?
I think that is an excellent question. One of the big cautionary notes going into this council, as me as a leader, I've been very, very, very concerned about making sure we are transparent. There's not three people having a conversation. Emails are very, very careful. We don't use a lot of emails. My goal is to debate, honestly, in the town council chambers. When we go into executive session, because that's another issue that you might want to question on that.
I actually do have one.
Most all of those issues are related to personnel matters. We've been working on, for example, right now, the evaluations of our current manager as well as the attorney. And the other parts have been on associated with legal opinions relative to lawsuits or what have you.
As a matter of fact, I have noticed there have been four executive sessions in a row, and that's all been personnel.
Yes, personnel. What we did, one of them was, as it's public knowledge, we just went through the first time ever an employee survey, which was very positive. And so we really wanted to make sure we got through all the meat and the detail of just questions that came forward, which occurred at council. That was a very brief session with a consultant, and then right into evaluation methodology for the town manager as well as the attorney.
Richard, do you feel the council has been more transparent than the last council, and maybe they learned from some of their mistakes?
I feel this Ordinance 9, while I don't agree with a lot of aspects of it, was done in a very transparent way. And I attribute it to the mayor's guidance of making sure that the public understood anything. The people that ordinance is driving crazy are the people that own property in Bates Village, because a lot of expenses could very easily fall on top of them, on top of this mortgage that the Ski Co. Borrowed money 10 years ago or 12 years ago, put in improvements, and created a bond issue for the owners to pay off at Bates Village, and then they sold it to Related, and they got paid for work that they never paid for. I mean, is that a scam or what?
Well, now so, that we have new owners coming in, should the council step up and try to help these Bates Village homeowners a little bit, because they're seen as a little bit of negotiating power here, especially if they come back for requested changes, larger buildings, more square footage?
Well, that's fine. If there's justification, I don't care how big Bates Village gets, as long as there's justification. What should be done, and I mentioned it today at the Capitol Peak meeting, that the report that was given about various options for refinancing the bond issue, I had a quick solution for it. Let the new buyers pay it off. Let them take the debt. And let's get, this is like a rat's nest. And they're never going to get approval from the residents. And it's, this whole project could be very easily held as a hostage if there isn't some positive move to take the burden off the residents. And most of us didn't know about it when we signed our agreement. It popped up years later. And and I think the Ski Co. is the primary responsibility for it. But for this $500 million project, it's not inappropriate to ask them to pay off a $50 million debt.
What is their incentive to do that?
To get approvals. Because right now I believe that the residents and the two HOAs that exist can block this deal from going through. Because a condition of it is that this bond issue get resolved. Am I right, Mark?
Do you see that as happening, Mark?
It's a very complicated question. It's not as simple as can we do this. In terms of, I was not at your meeting, and I'm not invited since I'm not a member and I'm not part of that organization, so I don't know what occurred.
You can
this
go
morning.
Because I went last week.
Oh, well.
I can tell you, not much.
Well, the problem down at Bates Village is if you look at the ownership structure, with not all their units being sold, they're owned by the developer, so they control the board.
They do. That's one of the allegations. But then can the council do anything to help
with
that?
Well, you know, I am so saddened. I just wish we could do something. But the way the legal structure is, I don't understand the complicated legal structure with all these different boards and what have you. It's very complicated.
Yes, it's going to stay complicated. Unless the council could step in and put a condition on the council could step in and put an ordinance, a condition on Ordinance 9 that this debt go bye-bye. Otherwise, it's going to the residents, and I've advocated that they file a lawsuit. I can't file one because of a recent settlement with related. But all the ingredients are there for a lawsuit. There's one woman named Pat Kiefer. And she has dug into this thing from A to Z. There's so many things wrong. It's incredible. But the most important thing is that by their own terms and conditions, because of the foreclosure, they don't belong there at all.
Well, I don't. The Ordinance 9 has been approved. All the tenant agreements have signed off. You can't condition a PUD after it's been approved. That's the challenge.
Thank you, Markey. This is Aspen Public Radio, and you're listening to a debate between Snowmass Village Mayor Markey Butler and her challenger, Richard Goodwin. Let's stay on this property tax idea. That Snowmass residents have two tax issues on the ballot this year. This fall, they already passed one increase, mill levy increase, back in the spring for an $18 million, I believe it's a wastewater plant. There's a school measure and a fire station measure. Is it time to look at a funding vehicle other than property taxes? Does Snowmass need to look at perhaps the sales tax, even if that means having to reduce some of the monies to the marketing and special events, Snowmass tourism? Markey, what do you think about that?
Boy, that's a loaded question, Madeline. Whoa! We're going to take it apart a little bit. In terms of the ballot measures, we know that the fire district is looking for about an $18 million. Mm-hmm. A new firehouse. It's old. It's dilapidated. It's falling down. It's sinking into the ground. The second one is the school measure, which is, I think, is a $510,000 measure. All of those are very tough issues. Now, as we talk about the sales tax, we looked at sales tax considerably. We're 10.4%, one of the highest in the state. In fact, Winter Park just bypassed us, so we're 10.4. Yeah. One of the conversations we had when we were looking at the school was to look at the marketing, the sales tax that generates some funding for our marketing department. We chose that we could not reduce it at this time as our marketing has just really, tourism has really taken off, and you all see what happens in the summertime. So we chose not to reduce it. In terms of, we've looked at bonding. Town of Snowmass Village can bond for their own projects, but they can't bond for somebody else. So that's another issue. So it went into the property tax.
So no hope for reducing the sales tax?
Oh, I think it is on the agenda of in the future. It's part of a conversation we've had when we were looking at the school at a work session, mm-hmm. but I would push that off until the new council is elected.
Richard, what do you think about the sales tax, using that for any other?
Let me begin. I have a dozen letters here the council's never answered. One of them says, why don't we have a motto? The motto of Snowmass Village should be, we're the greenest and friendliest village in America. And by my work with CORE, which everybody knows about, and I'm putting in thousands of dollars to promote CORE to for people to retrofit their properties, that there's a way to increase income. And the ski company, which is a little stubborn, if they could advertise, we have the greenest valley, greenest mountain in America, even though it's white. So let's increase income.
So that's how we get around. That's how, okay. You said very well. Richard, I know that you live along the Snowmass Club golf course right now, even though you are going to be relocating to Base Village. I'm not going to give you your address, don't worry. Yeah. But do you favor additional residential or commercial development along the club, as has been rumored by the current owners?
Where my home is, there's no room for any development. I know further up around where the fire station is, there's some vacant land there that I've heard that could be developed. If there's some sort of financial benefit to the municipality, then I think they should give it serious consideration, providing all the environmental issues are resolved and that they will build a project with no furnaces.
Okay. And Marky?
Question. Can you repeat the question?
Yes. do you favor any residential or commercial development along the golf course? Employee housing project has been bandied about. There's nothing, but there's also been talk about perhaps some other buildings.
Yes, I hear rumors. I haven't seen any PUD application, what have you. One of the notions that continues to float is over in where the pasture is, that would become part of the golf course, and then the other part would be turned into some pretty major high-end development down by the Anderson Arch Ranch. I can't say yes or no because I haven't seen anything.
Right, and you don't want to predispose. As long as it has community benefit, it sounds like both of you are saying Richard would consider that. You're not necessarily on board with that.
I never ever opine on something that's speculative, and that's speculative. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's another speculative question. Where do you see, this is a 1 minute, where do you see Snowmass Village in 10 years?
We need to look beyond 10. We need to go out about 20, 25 years because our Pace Village development will go through at least 2025 to 2030, God forbid. But as you begin to think about it, what's happening is we're becoming a very different community. The question becomes one, are we going to be too big?
Oh, that's good. Richard, what do you think?
The future here all revolves around money. Surprise to nobody that my condo is worth, I paid $660,000 for it. If I wanted to sell it today, which I don't, I was told maybe you can get $420,000. The market is not here. Resort areas tank first and recover last. I don't know what these new buyers are thinking because construction costs have gone up since I bought my unit 10 to 20%. So I don't know how it's feasible. So this projection that Marcy said, 2025, I think maybe 2035.
Wow. Hey, let's give 30 seconds now for a quick wrap-up. I'm sorry not to squeeze you guys, but that's Richard, why should you be the next mayor?
Because of my experience as a developer and builder over more years than I care to admit to.
Very
nice. I've seen everything that could go wrong in this development business. I've seen it happen two or three times to me, and I've seen it happen to a dozen times to other developers. I can be very helpful to protect our present residents.
Marky?
I want to continue with the momentum that we've established with our current town council under my leadership. I think we've only begun as we now look at the comprehensive plan, as well as the poster plan and also the connectivity plan. So there's a lot of work yet to be done. We work well together. Love to keep us all together.
Thank you, candidates. That's all the time we have. Just a reminder, this is a mail-in ballot election, and early voting started this week. This is Aspen Public Radio, and you've been listening to a debate between Snowmass Village Mayor Marky Butler and Richard Goodwin, who is challenging her for a seat in this election. I'm Madeline Osberger with the Aspen Daily News. If you missed part of this debate, you can go to aspenpublicradio.org and hear a recording. Coming up next is Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Have a great night.
Well done, everybody.
Yeah. Exploring the human endeavor.
PRI, Public Radio International.